Hello, listeners. Hello, Jennifer Lawrence. Hello, Tom Hiddleston. Good God, this list is going to be so long by the end of next year. And hello, anybody else that I may have missed off. It was the night before Christmas. Well, it is when we're recording this. I'm Mal Foster, and I've got a really nice cooled bottle of Copperberg alcohol-free pear cider. Other alcohol-free pear ciders are probably available, but this one is rather delicious. So there you go, Copperberg, have a free plug.
Just start off with a commercial. Mate.
Exactly. Just like Letterboxd, if you're listening, Copperberg, I'm quite happy to do promotions for you for free, but if you'd like to pay me, I'm all good with that as well.
We should just find a list of products and just go for it and just see what can happen. Coke, Pepsi, vodka, wine.
Let's do it.
Blossom Hill. I'm just going for drinks. Like, this probably sums up my mindset at the moment, where I'm just like, beer, wine, anything alcohol, send me Christmas. No.
I was going to say, Gwen, you probably want some coffee, yes?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I was perfectly willing to accept coffee.
I was just mid-sip when you said that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am joined, as you can tell, by Mr. Daniel Saraf.
Hey guys.
I like how Dan's like personality just changed too, because he was like, "Give me all your beer."
Okay, I know.
Guys, how's it going?
I know. He was like a crazy booze hound that was just jonesing for a bottle a second ago, and now he's just back down to earth and mellowed out.
I just had like a 5-second relapse, where I was just like, "Give me a beer."
I turned into Chewbacca.
Oh, mind you, if you were a Wookiee, you'd probably have some kind of heavy vice indulgence. It's not easy being a Wookiee. I don't even think they have penises, but that's a different story.
Wow. Yeah.
What makes you think that?
Degraded a delightful children's film.
Because I've never seen a Wookiee penis, have you?
Guys, really?
What? It's an important question, Gwen. You know, it's...
Wookiees are like Barbie dolls. They are not anatomically correct.
If he does have one, it's hidden amongst the fur.
He has a lot of hair for someone that doesn't have genitals. Mm. I'm just saying.
Okay, all right. Well, there you go, listeners. If you know the answer to do Wookiees have penises, let us know. I was also joined by Gwen Reyes.
This is officially, speaking of worse things that we have to talk about, the worst conversation.
I don't know. I mean, this is...
I think we've gone worse. Yeah,
I think we've done worse in 100 and something episodes. I don't even know what episode number we're on. That's how laissez-faire this week is, listeners. So, how organized I am. I don't even know what episode number we're on. Figure it out yourself.
It's because we're doing like a little bonus episode for all of our...
That's
people
right.
Who want to hear us rant about shit.
I'm just double checking this is alcohol free because it's making me feel all funky. Yeah, it is. So, Gwen Reyes is with us. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I suppose you could be doing better if we weren't talking about Wookiee penis.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't realize I was so emphatic about not talking about Wookiee penis. I just learned something about myself today.
When it comes to alien genitalia, you just... not that interested as me and Dan seemingly are.
It's like it ruined my childhood for some reason.
Oh, it could
I don't
be
know
worse.
Why.
I could be talking about Ewok penis. That would be worse.
I will hang this phone up.
Okay, let's move on. Let's move on from fictional penises.
Unless we're talking about Tom Hiddleston's penis, I don't want any more conversation on it.
Well, no, because that's a little bit too close to home. Not quite literally. I don't have like Tom Hiddleston stood naked in my room. That would be a little bit weird.
That's just me.
That's just you. Yeah, we're doing a kind of little off the cuff, off the usual boundary sort of bonus thing in which next week we're going to talk about our favourite films, as we usually do at the end of the year. But this week, it could be Rant-O-Rama. If you love a good podcastian rant, then this is going to be the episode for you, because we're going to be talking about our five worst films of 2013 before we play our final game of box office or bust for 2013. Are we going to do what we usually do, guys? Do the five each, then four, then three, then two, then one, as per usual?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. Well, we'll go in alphabetical order. We'll start with Dan, with your number five.
I had to figure that out for a second. I'm sorry. Carry on.
You just randomly forgot your
A,
alphabet.
A, B, C, D. Yeah, good, that's me.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll start with your top. We'll start with your number five. In your five worst films of 2013, what's at the top there? What have you got for us first?
Just before we start, do we have any like dishonorable mentions or anything that you want to throw in?
Something
that didn't just quite make the cut, but you really didn't like.
Yeah, I can throw out a few. A Good Day to Die Hard was pretty awful. Hangover Part 3 was pretty awful as well. Diana.
That didn't make your bottom five? Wow.
No, it didn't. Grown Ups 2 didn't even make my bottom five.
Whoa.
And Leviathan, which was the last film I really didn't like.
Because it made your top five, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's my favourite film of the year.
Good.
Totally not being sarcastic. Good. In the slightest. So yeah, those are some of my dishonourable mentions. Anything that you didn't particularly like that didn't make your top five?
Let me think about this. Yeah, Gangster Squad would probably just have missed the cut.
Oh, come on now. It's got that immortal line that I can't even remember. I just remember the
cheese. Say hello to Santa Claus.
That's the one. How apt.
Yeah, there you go. It's Christmas spirit. Sean Penn shoots.
Sean Penn's prosthetic nose for Gun. Christmas.
I think I'd agree on The Hangover Part 3 as well. Mm-hmm. Parkland as well. Yeah, Breathe In as well, maybe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just thought it was so dull. But then again, like I should say before I start my bottom five that I haven't really seen a lot of terrible stuff. So it kind of ranges from not very good to pretty terrible stuff, but like there's only a few. I haven't seen like movie 43, and I haven't seen like Grown Ups 2 or anything like that. So
yeah, you know, I miss Grown Ups 2 also.
What about you, Gwen? What would be your dishonorable mention?
It's funny because I remember that the first movie of the year that I saw, I hated it, and it's actually my least favorite movie of the entire year. And the year has been a lot better, but ones that were like my miscongenialities in consideration were A Good Day to Die Hard. I didn't really care for Sweetwater, which was this western. It was like really kind of wanting to be gritty western that was really stupid, that starred January Jones as a recent widow who tries to exact revenge. So it's kind of got like a western sort of I Spit on Your Grave sort of vibe to it, and it was just kind of disjointed, and I don't like her. And then another one was He's Way More Famous Than You, which is kind of like a small film that I saw at a local festival that I just like really, really regretted watching.
Yeah, the title alone makes it sound pretty bad.
It was just He's More Famous Than You.
He's Way More Famous Than You. Yeah, it was just like a film. I don't even think I could tell you about what the movie was even about anymore. Like, I think that there was something about them trying to make a movie, this gay couple trying to make a movie, and then they break up, and then stuff happens. I don't even know. It was stupid. It was super dumb. I hated the whole thing. It was awful. But not as awful as the top five movies.
Whoa, which has got me excited, because I could already sense a little bit of venom there, and that's just for a dishonorable mention. So yep. I'm kind of getting excited for what's in your top five. So let's get into it, Dan. Number five, what has just peeked in the very edge of your list?
Just peeking in, edge of my list, number five. Like I said, it's not terrible. It's just not good at all. And it's The Incredible Burt Wonderstone, which probably says a lot about the film that I don't remember why I hated it, because I don't remember a thing about it. I just remember feeling, it's one of those comedies where you kind of feel your toes curl because you just are so aware of how unfunny it is and how cringeworthy it is. It's a complete dud. So that's my number five for the worst films of the year.
Mm. Gwen, what's in at number five for you?
My number five is one that I think broke Dan and me earlier, because our relationship severed based on our differing opinions of this film.
I'm going to brace myself for this because I know what's coming. Go on, just do it.
But my number five was The Counselor, which was a complete mess, just a mess of a film. And I like to think of myself as a pretty smart individual who can follow plot lines when they're presented to me. But it takes a little while to realize that when a movie doesn't have a plot line or any redeemable factor or quality, that it's just a terrible film. And The Counselor was that film for me. It was just a mess of a movie.
Any comments, Dan?
That'll
do. That'll do.
It doesn't need a plot line.
Yeah, movies need plot lines. That's like part of a movie. It's part of art. You need plot lines to tell stories.
It doesn't need a plot line. It's got enough to say without having to be tied up.
No, it says nothing.
This happened and then this happened. Well, yeah, that's the point.
It says enough because this is nothing.
It's a film about how everything is shit and then you die.
No, you wanted to like it so much that you put plot into it. There is no plot.
Oh, this just got personal.
Mm-hmm. We shouldn't take our hatred out on each other. We should take our hatred out on Ridley Scott and Cormac McCarthy.
We should never take our... We can take our hatred out on Ridley Scott sometimes, but never Cormac McCarthy. Never.
Well, he shouldn't be writing screenplays, is all I'm saying. I'll give him another try. But
I'm not saying it's one of the best films of the year, but I did really, really like it. And I've defended it before. You can go back and listen to me defend it.
Yeah, I think it's not that far off. I think it's like one or two episodes off. So if you want to hear a really staunch defense of The Counselor, go back a few episodes. My number five, I'm going to have a couple in here which might polarize, certainly you two, but I know at least one of them is going to polarize a lot of people. But this one might cause a few ruffled feathers here. Number five for me is Warm Bodies, one of the first films I saw this year, and it was just utter dire pish. Utter dire pish, honestly.
I forgot that you didn't like that movie.
It was utter shit. Honestly, it was just, it's kind of like, ooh, let's tap into the Twilight market and let's get a girl that looks vaguely like, what's her face? I can't even remember her face. Is that
Ace Jew?
That's the one, yeah. Let's just do it, but with zombies, and let's just... it was just really forced and really unfunny, and it was just like... no, why bother? Don't, because it's pish. That's it. Warm bodies, cold feelings.
Emotions.
Yeah. That's my number five. But you two seem to quite like that film.
I quite like it. I think it's pretty cute.
I liked that, and I liked Beautiful Creatures. I know those are both very polarizing films.
I don't think Beautiful Creatures is a polarizing film. I think you're just wrong.
I have met one other supporter of Beautiful Creatures. I am not alone in my island over here. I at least have a friend there with me.
Well, that's nice, because I
have not watched that movie five times. Five times, guys.
For real? Five times?
No, like, out of pleasure.
Oh, this is a Counselor revenge.
Ugh. Oh dear, it's getting personal already.
Love it. We're middle ground now. We can call a truce.
Yeah, we got
two equal shots have been fired.
We can team up for when you mention a certain film, but I know you're going to pick
okay.
it.
Okay, yeah. All right. So number four, Dan, what have you got?
Okay, so number four is a little seen film. In fact, it's probably a not seen at all film that played at the Edinburgh Film Festival this year that I saw, and it was just absolutely dreadful. This is like, it's called We Are the Freaks, and there was this kind of genre of British films in like the kind of mid-90s. I don't know what you kind of call them. They were just kind of these like laddie, like fast-paced, like vibrant, like, I'm probably doing it more justice than they are. I mean, they were pretty terrible, like, kind of cockney humor.
Oh, geezer! Ooh.
Yeah, kind of Guy Ritchie kind of films. But there were so many that were so bad. Mal and I will know the actor Danny Dyer, and
oh, he's not in it, is he?
He's not in it, but it's those kind of.
Oh,
films,
it's
you know
a,
what I mean?
Oh, like, oh, geezer, I'm going to knock you on the face. Let's have a pint and a fight. Ooh.
Yeah, it's one of those kind of films. I thought they kind of died at the end of like the 90s, early 2000s, but. Apparently We Are the Freaks decided to resurrect it from this horrible shallow grave, and basically do this film about these three kids growing up in Thatcherist Britain who do nothing except go and get drunk and fight people and then justify it as like, oh, we're just living in the present. And
so it's quite literally let's have a pint and then a fight.
It is. I think you actually kind
of, oh, geezer!
I think you summed that film up in like pretty much that one line there, except one of them has this kind of aspiration to kind of break out of this and go and study creative writing at Bolton University. Again, for those of you who aren't familiar with the UK,
no disrespect to anybody that may be listening, Bolton, but it's not really affiliated with the most talented of scribes.
Yeah, so He'd probably be better staying in this ghetto and getting pissed and punching people freely, rather than going to Fulton University. To which one of the people who I went to, I'm equipped, like, is probably written by somebody that went to Bolton Creative, like, course.
Yeah, that's what I'm presuming.
It's probably written by somebody who did that course, and it has the quality of somebody who would do a creative writing course at Bolton. I'm getting a bit insulting now, but honestly, this film is just awful. It's just like, it's one of those films, it's like, Jesus, I thought we'd stop doing this, get over it. It's called We Are the Freaks, so don't ever see it, ever.
It sounds fucking awful, I'll be honest.
It's fucking terrible.
Number four, Gwen, what have you got? God, I would love for Gwen to have like a, oh, okay, so let's have a Cockney pizza film. No, literally, that's what those kind of films are. It's just like, oh,
well, I tried to do my accent like that, right? Yeah, like that, no. It's just insulting. Yeah. Not doing it. Okay, anyway, my number four, because I've just insulted an entire nation.
Oh, I just in it as well, so we're in this together now.
Yeah. Was the remake, the unnecessary remake, I hate saying that because I love remakes, but this time was an unnecessary remake of Romeo and Juliet, starring Hayley Steinfeld or Steinfeld or whatever her name is, and Douglas Booth. And it was terrible, and I think that I went on a very nice rant about it about a month ago, and it's awful. Terrible movie.
Yeah, I remember you vaguely showing a lot of disdain to it back then, and let's be honest, I'm not surprised it's on the list, considering how much you didn't take to that film at all.
It just, the flowers back in my life.
Number four for me is a film which has made me question a film director, and I hate that, because the thing is, if somebody makes a film in which this person has made a film, which is one of my all-time favourites, I am then on board pretty much for anything they do, but I think I'm invoking a free film pass now, regardless of how much that film that I love so much means to me. And Sofia Coppola, you've exceeded your free film pass now, because there was Marie Antoinette, there was that stupid film Somewhere, I think it was called... Mm-hmm. And then you made my number four pick, which is The Bling Ring, which at its heart has a pseudo interesting story and could have been ripe for some sort of satirical view on celebrity culture. Instead, it just dances with it with flashing lights and really hip music and just looks like a dick and acts like a dick and just makes me want to just vomit. So, Sophia, that's it. I might not even watch your next film now.
That's good. I stopped watching her movies after... Oh, I've seen them all, but I really don't like her as well.
You make me wonder what happened 10 years ago and if you really did actually make Lost in Translation or you just put your name on it.
I didn't like Lost in Translation.
Oh, get out of here, Gwen.
I know, it's surprising, but I didn't care for it. But I loved Virgin Suicides.
Yeah, I love that film.
It's alright.
I love all of her movies. So.
Including The Bling Ring.
Well, I guess The Bling
Ring.
I liked
The Bling Ring fine.
I like it, yeah.
But it was awful. It was just so obnoxious
airheaded. It was the Council.
Oh my god, let's just take a selfie of me dancing. Oh no.
These are those people. That is like culture. Like...
Yeah, I know, but you see enough of that already. You know, that's what I mean. Totally ripe for satire, not just for going and pointing at it and going, hey, this actually happens. It's like, yeah, I have access to the internet. I know this happens. I wish it didn't. Don't make a film about it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's my number four. Shitty Bling Ring. Number three for you, Dan, what have you got?
Number three is a film that came out, it got a very limited release over the summer, and then played at Toronto Film Festival, God only knows how. It's called The Sea, and it has Kyron Hines in it from Game of Thrones, Bonnie Wright from Harry Potter is in it, Natasha McElhone from something, and it's just, oh God, it's like painfully, painfully dull. It's just about this guy who goes and lives by the sea and is sad for a bit, and then and then it ends, and it's like, oh, it's terrible. And then the performances are probably some of the worst I've ever seen. They're just like, the film is trying to be this like super moody and super dark thing, and then you have these like soap opera performances that are just so laughable. It looks like it's filmed with like an Instagram app, and it's just ugly and boring and dull, and it was just like, it was a strength of will to like have to sit through this for 90 minutes and not like just implode in boredom. It's so bad, so bad.
And that's The Sea.
It's called The Sea. Yeah, it's done. It's adapted from this book by John Banville, which apparently was really, really good. And I don't think I will ever like turn to it to find out, because this has put me off anything related to John Banville and his book, and probably seas for life.
Just ocean. It's made
just
you,
ocean.
It's made you landlocked for life.
Yeah, it has put me off bodies of water forever.
Nice. What about you, Gwen? What have you got in at number three?
Well, my number three was Zack Snyder's Man of Steel, which I have seen, which I saw twice, and both times wanted to do anything but watch it again.
Okay.
It was, for me, it was just such a disjointed story. I thought that the structure of kind of starting and going back and forth with the flashbacks was just, it really was a hindrance to the development of the story. And I also, my biggest problem with that was such a disappointment. I was really excited about it. I thought the ad campaign made it look really dark and really interesting, and it was just boring and bland and kind of a mess.
I take it you're not really too excited for its follow-up then?
No, not really, but I'll see it because I don't really have a choice. So.
Nice. Oh, I'll see it because I have to.
Yeah, because either if I don't see it as like for work, I'll have to see it with my family because they like terrible movies.
Okay, I wouldn't tell them that. That might hurt their feelings.
I tell them that all the time. They're fine with it.
Oh, okay. Well, as long as they know, that's all right. I wasn't expecting it to be in the top five. I knew you weren't keen on it, but no. Quite an interesting entry at number three. Number three for me is, I think Dan might have this on his list. In fact, I'm pretty sure he does. And if he doesn't, I just probably despair, is The Canyons, which was billed as Lindsay Lohan's big comeback film. And I can't even remember who's attached to it, who's directing and who's writing.
It's Paul Schrader who directed it, who wrote Taxi Driver, That's Raging Ball, and then Bret Easton Ellis wrote it.
That's the one. Yeah, it's just vapid dog shit, is how I would describe it. Just utterly amateur hour from start to finish. The script is horrible. It's trying to be this sort of sexy, seductive Hollywood contemporary noir, and it's just absolutely vacuous and void of any interest, any point or purpose, with some really shocking dialogue and equally shoddy acting from everyone, including porn star James Dean, and soon to be, probably, if a career carries on going this route, porn star Lindsay Lohan. So that's The Canyons in at number three.
Yeah, I have no interest in seeing that movie. None.
Yeah, no, don't. I think it would probably be more entertaining to try and saw off your own foot.
And then eat it afterwards, yeah. I'd say. I think that pretty much does it justice.
Yeah, really shit. Number two, Dan, what have you got? Now, we're getting close. We're getting into the real good stuff now.
Now, it's a crime enough to make a really, really bad movie. Like, a really, really, really bad movie. But to make a really bad movie with Jason Schwartzman and Bill Murray, that alone gets you right at the bottom of my list. A Glimpse Inside the Mind of Charles Swan III. Which was Roman Coppola's movie. So we've got Coppola on the list again now.
Oh, you damn
Coppola's family, what have you done? It's the most sexist and vile and horrible attempt at a film that I have ever, or at least one of the most vile attempts at films I've ever seen, which attempts to be this kind of comedic battle of the sexes movie, which is just so, like, so amateur and so on the nose. Like, I remember there was this dream sequence in the film where, like, what's his name? Charlie had the meltdown winning guy. Charlie Sheen, who's like the lead star of the film, like has this dream sequence with Bill Murray and Jason Schwartzman, where like they're dressed up as cowboys, and then a bunch of girls are dressed up as like these hot model Indian chicks, and then they have this like battle of the sexes dream scene, and that kind of sums up the whole movie for me. That it's so vapid and sexist, and just so it thinks it's so good and thinks it's so artful, and yet it's so pretentious. Like it's just awful. And the fact that Bill Murray and Jason Schwartzman are in this, and the fact that Roman Coppola wrote like Moonrise Kingdom, which I loved last year, and worked so well with Wes Anderson, has just made this horrible, horrible, horrible movie. It's awful and deserves this place. It's like the second worst film of the year for me.
Yeah, I've not seen it, but I don't really want to because it does sound brutally horrible.
It's just like a Playboy magazine come to life. Ooh. It's awful.
Nasty. Number two for you, Gwen. What you got?
My number two is another one that like disappointed me, which is more of why I picked it, because it I was so excited about it and it was just not what I was hoping for, which is Star Trek Into Darkness, the sequel to 2009 Star Trek. I did not care for it. I just remember being really angry when I was watching it because I was so excited. I remember when you guys saw it before I did and you were talking about it, and I actually pulled my headphones out so that I wouldn't get any spoils for it. Like, I was so thrilled about that movie. And I watched it, and I hated the whole thing. Because it was the whole element of this, of the Starfleet didn't even need to be in there. It wasn't even their story. So I was just out. But
it's funny, because I imagine a lot of people would have expected that to be on their top lists for the end of the year, but it seems like so many people have just kind of forgotten about it. To be honest, I'd kind of forgotten about it, which is a shame, because, you know, the 2009 film was so good.
It was so good. And I think that's another problem, is that it felt like it was just retelling the story of the first film. Like, all the issues that they were bringing up were problems I thought were solved in the first film. We didn't need to rehash them. And we should have been able to give Cumberbatch way more to do. Like, he was so great in that role of Khan, and he just didn't have anything to do, and I was just disappointed.
It was so phoned in, I thought. Like, that was my main complaint about that film. It was just like, oh, we need a script. Let's just do this and that, and then we'll throw in some fan references to try and make people happy, and they'll love it. Like, they'll eat it up with all these references. And it was just like, no, you've got a bullshit story. Like, don't try and, like, kid me into liking you. Yeah.
Shame on you, Star Trek. Shame on you. My number two, brace yourselves, is one that everyone seems to love, and I seem to be one of very few people in the.
I'm so sad.
I can see
where this is going.
I can see this film for what it really is, Club. I seem to be one of very.
I actually genuinely thought this movie was going to be his number one least favorite movie. It's going to be number two.
It's number two. It's. Trust me, it's a close decision. It's like a photo finish. But my number two film, and it's quite possibly the most rantiest I think I've ever been about a film in the entirety of this podcast, is Spring Breakers.
Wrong.
Harmony Korine, just give up directing. Just give up in general. Just give up. Having said that, this is his best film to date, which, you know, says an awful lot about him as a director and why I urge him to just give up. Spring Breakers, it seems to be everybody's favourite sort of little indie darling of the year, and it's just like, why? It's horrendous. I thought The Bling Ring was vacuous and empty and totally just pointless. And just a total waste, because the thing is, we have such a vapid, celebrity-obsessed, sort of lifestyle-obsessed youth culture that is just absolutely ripe for satire. But Harmony Korine's like, oh, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to make it look really glamorous and sexy, and we're just going to make it look really sleazy. And then we're going to have James Franco as, like, this riff-raff.
But you just said it looks sleazy. That's the point. And it looks so sleazy. Like, it's just a total attack on that thing.
But it's so obvious, though. That's the thing. It's so obvious. this, and it's just not subtle in the slightest. It's
but
just...
it shouldn't have to be. It is. It's a massive, noisy, color laden attack on it. Like, there is no subtlety to it at all, and that's what's good about it. You know what? I'm going to save this for when I do my top 10 of the year.
Oh, Jesus, Stan.
It may just be in there.
The fact that you... Oh, God, seriously.
You know what, though? Can I just say that I think of all the reviews I've read on Letterboxd, I think your review of Spring Breakers might be my favourite on the whole site. If you can go and find it, I think it's probably on your front page
because
it's got like 100 likes. It was something like, I remember one of the quote was something like, masturbation material for 14-year-olds who got dropped on the head at birth.
Yes. That was pretty much it, yeah. And in fact, I'm going to pull it up. Give me a second. I'm going to find it and I'm going to read it verbatim because... It's worthy of it. Just looking at stills of this film makes me angry. I don't know what it is. I just want to throw something at the whenever I see a still of it. Yeah.
I think I liked your review a bit, and it's just like, I completely disagree with every letter of that, but...
Spring Breakers, in its nutshell, and this is in a three-line review, essentially. 90 minutes of utter pointless, vapid, turgid, misogynistic masturbation material for 14-year-old boys who were dropped on their head at birth. Yet, strangely enough, Spring Breakers is probably Harmony Korine's best movie to date. And that's it. It honestly is. It's just like fap material for just stupid boys.
Right, I'm going to defend it next week. You can all wait for my defence of this.
It's fat music for bras, you know, who love fist bumping. And it's just like, you know what, I'd love to bump my fist in Harmony Korine's face. Several times.
This film totally seduces you with that idea that it is just going to be this Disney Girls Gone Wild video.
It's not seductive, though. It's shit on a stick.
If it's not, it's a great movie.
It's
don't write it
off. Shit on a stick with a strobe light inserted into it. For crying out loud, there's a piano scene in which they're singing a really, what, they're trying to make a tender version of a Britney Spears cover version, and it's hilarious. I'm laughing at it, not with it. I'm laughing at just how ridiculous this comes across. It's like this, no.
It's a total generation of raise on people like Britney Spears and only care about like materialistic things and just like they just go
but
on.
I know that, and it says nothing clever or interesting or witty about them. It's just basically, it's like a regurg. It's like taking all of MTV's worst reality TV shows, sticking it in a blender, throwing in some strobe lights, some really just obnoxious music, and then just vomiting multicolours all over it and then going, eat this. And I'm like, no thanks.
Just at least give it a go for people who are listening. And don't write it off straight away, because you're so wrong.
Watch it with sedatives. Is what I
just love so, I just so love wrong. Mal just being like, no thanks. Like,
yeah, I know. There's nothing I can say. This is what's annoying. This is why I gave up, because it's just like, there's nothing I can say at this point that could ever convince you to at least, like, try and see it from any other perspective from what you see it from.
I actually generally...
You have made your, like, position. And you've been
it is set in concrete, like,
even,
yeah.
I think even if you saw this film again and you liked it, like, I think you would just be like, nope, I'm not moving.
You could get me to watch this on my 50th birthday, and I'd still be like... Yeah, I was right when I first watched it. Honestly, I'm contemplating buying a copy just to smash it with a hammer, just for pure therapeutic goodness.
And I will frame every piece of it together.
Just every smashed shard.
I will frame it.
Now I'm actually surprised it's not number one.
I want to know, what is your number one, if this is well, like you'll just, your number
you'll,
two?
You'll just have to wait. What is your number one? Because that's what we're on to, right?
Okay. Yep, my number one of the year, my worst film of the year. It's one that we've already mentioned. It's The Canyon. Well, it's... First of all, it is completely amateur. I mean, this is Paul Schrader, a man who worked very closely with Martin Scorsese. You'd think he would pick up some lessons in filmmaking along the way from Martin Scorsese. Like, I don't know, like, how to light the shot, like... the same way between two shots, like
how to frame it properly.
Yeah, yeah, how to like put someone's head like in a camera shot, like that'd be nice. Not just see like their neck a few times.
It'd be nice to see the person speaking when they're actually speaking.
Yeah, yeah. Instead of cutting to Lindsay Lohan when James Dean's talking, and then cutting to James Dean when Lindsay Lohan's talking, there's this kind of rule where you look at the person's face while they're talking. You think you'd learn that from someone like Martin Scorsese, but no, Paul Schrader apparently didn't learn any of these things. And because it's perfectly fine to have one shot lit like some freaking like spotlight shining in the camera, and then the other one like it's lit with a candle. It's
Chris Susan Boyle's Christmas candle.
Yeah, with a Christmas candle. And so on even a basic level, this film is a complete failure. It's the kind of thing that you would show in like college film class, and even your teacher would just be like, just leave. Like you've not got the basic concept of what putting images in an order is. So The Canyons fails on that level, first of all. Second of all, I think it's ironic that a film that is so badly made considers itself to be this kind of moralistic look at like, oh, you know, how look at how cinema has died. Look at Hollywood's destruction. Look how bad cinema's gone. It's like, yeah, maybe you have contributed that in some way. Maybe instead of criticizing bad films, you should take a look at yourself and see how fucking awful this film that you've made is. And what gives you the right to be on your high horse, Paul Schrader, who hasn't made a film since, like, the 1980s that has been worth watching, and Bryce Nelson, who hasn't wrote, is still writing books like he is in the 1980s. And then we come on to the performances, which are, like, a porn star. The porn star is the best actor in the film.
That's sad but true.
when a porn star is the only person who can actually deliver a line with any kind of rhythm, you've got Lindsay Lohan looking like Lindsay Lohan, and it's awful. And then it's so like full of itself and so high minded that it's like it's so postmodern and what was it, Brace? I'll say like post empire. It's like it's post nothing. Just get fuck off your high horse and make films that actually have a structure and have any kind of talent. Oh, sorry, I just burnt out at the end there.
I think Gwen might be slightly exhausted by just the high level of British film ranting going on.
You know, it's like one of those things, like, in a way it's something that like, just comes back to you, like a really traumatic memory, and you're just like, oh, wow, like, I've just remembered how bad this is. That was just what it was. It was just like, I've repressed this for months, and it was like, oh, it's just all come back to me.
I just want to give you all the hugs now, Dan. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's not your fault. I know who's to blame, and it wasn't you.
Big question is, though, Gwen, will you be catching The Canyons anytime soon?
No, I don't need to watch that movie. I'm good, guys.
Yeah,
I knew it wasn't going to be good because Brett is just a piece of shit. And so...
Yeah.
I have a very strong belief that authors should not be involved at all in the process of their films.
Including Mr. McCarthy.
Yes. And that wasn't even based on a damn book.
What is your number one? What is your worst film for this year? I think I know, but I want to hear about it anyway. Because
I can't think what it is. I can't think what it might be.
Well, it is a film that in the title tells you what you're expected to receive by the end of it. And that is a bullet to the head. Because I have not hated a movie as much as I hated Sylvester Stallone's mumbly, racist,
you don't like my movie?
I've never wanted to walk. I don't walk out of movies. I've never walked out of a film in my entire life. I'll take a nap. Because that is about all I can give to somebody. The only reason I did not walk out of Bullet to the Head was because, one, anytime Jason Momoa came on screen, Jason Momoa, who is also mumbles, that's all he does is mumble, was the most compelling and interesting part of this film. And I also was stuck in the middle of the theater and could not easily walk over anybody, which I now learned from that experience, I now sit on the aisle of any movie I can.
In case of emergency exit.
In case I have to leave. Yeah. It was.
I like that this film has ruined every film for you now that you have to sit on the aisle just in case.
It's funny that I did not realize that until right now when I'm talking about it. I'm like, I do sit at the end of every aisle of my theater now anytime I see something.
It's set like an insurance policy every time you come.
It's like quick escape.
I'm sitting on the end because I'm not having a bullet to the head scenario again.
It's like a bullet to the head would have been better than this film. It was just so racist and terrible and insulting and bad and just a bad movie. And then there's this one colleague of mine who, like, we sat next to each other when we watched the movie, and she loved it, and I now judge her all the time. Because I'm like, me and Mel, I'm sorry. I'm like, your taste is null and void because you liked Bullet to the Head.
Well, you know, it wouldn't be a end of year part one special if we didn't have a special guest. And seeing as you love the film so much, I've got Sylvester Stallone here for you. Sylvester, do you want to say a few words to Gwen after hearing that?
Well, yo, you didn't like my movie, huh?
No, what, I did it, sir.
What's the matter with you? It's a good movie.
No, it was more like... It's like he's drooling. Like he's been hit too many times to the head.
Like he's just taken way too many lewds, and he's just like...
That movie is just bullshit, you guys. It was just so bad.
Bullet to the Head, yeah. I knew it was coming, but it was just as good as I was expecting. Oh, wonderful.
I'm glad my pain is funny to you guys.
Oh, it is. My number one, and at this point I'm sure you two and a number of people are wondering, well, what's beating Spring Breakers? What is worse than Spring Breakers? And believe me, it is a photo finish. It is, like, by a nose in at number one. And this is a lesson. This is a lesson for anybody who's just kind of developing their film taste and maybe even thinking about, you know, getting into film reviewing and whatnot. Yes, you have to take the bad with the good and the rough with the smooth, but, you know, sometimes it really does pay to be a little bit more selective. And just simply for the sake of self-preservation. But it's a lesson that I still haven't learned and probably never will. And even though this is compelling evidence to why I should wake up to this lesson, a lot of people said Movie 43 was an extremely terrible movie this year. And the sadistic part of my brain was like, oh, we should totally go and check that out and see if it's as bad as people said it was. And the short end of it is, kids, it was a lot worse than people said. I can't even begin to describe just how bad it is. I mean, it makes... It's painfully horrible. It is extremely misogynistic. It's extremely just sort of offensive. It's trying to be offensive, and yet it's being offensive for the fact it's trying to be offensive, if that makes any sense. It is just... it's horrible, and yet it has so many sort of top tier names in it, and it makes, and that's maybe what makes it worse. When your opening gag is the fact that Kate Winslet is at dinner with Hugh Jackman, and the snag is Hugh Jackman has a pair of testicles under his chin. That's the gag. That sets the tone for the rest of it. And it's just, why? And more importantly, how? How did this happen?
I don't understand how it happened.
guys,
hug. I haven't seen it, and I don't think I ever will.
It actually makes me want to set fire to the person that greenlit this film.
I don't want to see it because I sort of feel like it's going to make me hate people that I love.
I forgot.
Because I'll be like, oh, I love that actor.
I've forgotten a big chunk of who's actually in it. The only real people I can remember are Kate Winslet, Hugh Jackman, and Richard Gere. And if you're a fan of Richard Gere, stay away from it, because his sort of segment of the film is about, like, a music device in which you can stick your penis in. And that, again, tells you everything you need to know about the film.
Wow.
It's there, unfortunately. If only I had a magic wand to erase it from my memory, that would be nice. But I don't, so it's burned in there. Etched in for eternity, and, you know, it is actually, it would make me want to watch Spring Breakers again. That's how bad it is.
You probably like it better than Spring Breakers, I'm just saying.
No,
I'm sorry, switch those words around. Put Spring Breakers as one that you would like more.
Well,
I'm on a lot of cough medicine, sorry guys.
It's alright. You just keep chugging away on that cough medicine.
The purple drink.
You're on the perp.
Yeah. Is it?
You're on the scissor. You and Biebs on the scissor.
Yeah, me and Wheezy. Nice. That's what we're doing.
Go easy on that stuff. Can be dangerous.
Nope.
You're not. Oh, you're just going hardcore on the perp for Christmas. Is that what Santa's bringing you? Just a
sippy cup. Just a sippy cup that never ends.
Nice. Just keeps replenishing. Well, I feel cathartic and I also feel exhausted. Yeah,
it was quite therapeutic, really. I feel relaxed.
Kind of.
Don't you guys feel better?
I feel cleansed.
I just wanted to send all of the American hugs.
Oh, thank you. Well,
hugs are bigger because we're bigger people.
Well, we accept it'd be, like, an embrace. Very engulfed.
I have a little arm, so I can't hug America back, but...
We'll accept and embrace all the American hugs.
Send warm thoughts.
Yeah, so yeah, that's the one piece of advice I'd give off my list, especially the top one. Just maybe, you know, for your own sake and sanity, be a bit more selective. And if someone says a movie's really, truly awful, maybe just at least have a discussion with yourself before just openly accepting it.
Yeah, I feel like there's a moral to this episode.
You should talk to yourself.
Yeah, it's that you should talk to yourself more often.
Hash things out with a little bit of logic now and again.
Dan, do you really want to go see movie 43? Nope. Okay.
Consider this is 90 minutes of your life. How would you spend it? Waterboarding is kind of preferable. But yeah, so there you go. If you want to let us know what your top 5 worst films, or just what your worst films in general are that you've seen this year, perhaps you have strong agreements with some of our entries. Perhaps you have strong disagreements, which I'm pretty sure if we're going to hear anything back in terms of disagreement, it'll be Spring Breakers, because like I said, I'm in a very elite club of people that didn't like it, but hey, there you go. Either way, let us know what you really disliked this year, and also let us know what your favourites are in preparation for the next episode, our end of year best of wrap up. You can do so by heading over to screeninvasion.com or sending us an email at podcast@gmx.com. Either way, get in touch, let us know your favourites and your least favourites, and we might read some out next time we're on and about. Before we jump into sort of like our roundup section, which is our final game of Box Office or Bust, I kind of want to bring back a little bit of an old thing, which we haven't done for a long time. It's been a long time since we've discussed any trailers, but there's been two trailers I've seen this week which have kind of got me really, really excited for next year. The first is the Dawn of the Planet of the Apes trailer, which just makes me look makes me terrified of monkeys now. I think I'm actually beginning to develop some kind of issue with monkeys because of that franchise. And the second is Godzilla. Have either of you seen the Godzilla trailer?
I saw the Godzilla trailer and it looks really, really, really good.
It looks amazing. I was like, just take my money. Let me see this
sure
now.
Sure, take it. I was like, yeah, Gareth Edwards, boy. I love Gareth Edwards. Yeah, Gareth Edwards or Gareth Edwards?
It's Gareth. I believe it's Gareth. Yeah, he made Monsters a couple of years ago, which is an amazing film. And if you've not seen it, go do it, because it's beautiful and wonderful and all things nice and awesome. But yeah, I think they definitely gave it to the right person because it looks spectacular. But it also kind of seems to have the acting talent to back it up and make it legit and not just like another mess like Roland Emmerich's Matthew Broderick thing was. But it's like, yeah, it's like, fuck yeah, Godzilla's back, baby. And he's just breaking shit down. And I'm like, so want to see this now. Gwen, did you see Godzilla trailer?
No, I did not.
Gwen!
I know, I'm the worst.
You need to go watch it after you've seen
Why
this.
Why do I even wake up in the morning?
You need to grab Sophie and the pair of you need to just sit down and watch Godzilla.
I know, I just put it in my... I just pulled it up, so I'll watch it. I'll take it off the phone with you guys.
Seriously, even if it's just for the noise at the end.
Is it like an Wookie. Elephant?
It sounds like a Wookiee.
It's like a Wookiee elephant, yeah. I can't do a Godzilla noise. Watch the trailer for your Godzilla noise. God damn it.
The new trailer of for How to Train Your Dragon 2, and it made me feel all the warm fuzzies inside.
It did. I haven't seen the first. Is it worth watching?
What?
The first one is really, really, really good.
It's so good, and it's dark.
Really good. It's got a dark ending. But it's got like the sweetest little message ever as well.
It's also got Toothless, who's the greatest animated dragon ever.
Oh, and oh no, it doesn't matter. Sorry. I was like, Emoji Deacons did like loads of cinematography for it. I was like, no, that's Wally.
Oh, Wally Pfister. Yeah, he loves getting involved.
No, Wally, the Pixar movie.
Oh, right. I was going to say, because Wally Pfister did Turbo recently. And I was going to say...
Really?
Yeah, he was some sort of consultant on it.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I love Wally.
But yeah, no, I didn't know Deacons Be Thy Name worked on Wally.
Yeah, he was a consultant. Was King Deacons.
That's another reason to love Wally. Oh, Wally, you sweet little robot. Anyway, yeah, I just wanted to talk about them because they were just pretty awesome. But I guess we can kind of talk about things we're excited for next year in the next episode, I guess, as like a caveat to that bonus episode. But let's jump into box office or bust. Just one more round to go. And I'm thinking, considering it's the last one, we're going to up the ante. So all points gained are going to be worth twice their value. So it's double money for your last ever round for 2013. The current scores at the minute are this. I'm in third with 51 points.
I just want to say for a second that I'm not really behind the double point thing.
Well, yeah, because you're in front and it jeopardises...
No, I just think it's...
No, it's happening.
It's got nothing to do with the fact that
it's happening.
It's nothing to do with the fact that you could lose.
Yep, exactly.
No, I just think it's...
I think it's childish and I think it's unnecessary and I don't want to lose.
That was what I was trying to say, yeah. Not losing.
Yeah, well, you've already won it twice, so, you know...
Yeah, but three.
Just let it go. Let it go. submit your position right now.
Box office king.
I'm in third at the minute with 51 points. Gwen is in second with 56. Dan is currently at the top with 64 points. But with double point value added for the next and final round, it could all change. I'm not saying I'm going to win because I very much doubt I'm going to make up 13 points in one round. But, you know, Gwen, the pressure's on you.
I could make up 10. Dan could lose the whole thing.
Exactly.
Don't even think about boxing me in here.
There is an open. There is an open lane. There's an open lane here, Gwen, and you could just you could be like Luke Skywalker, just about to fire that really precise shot on the Death Star, kind of, but not. Anyway, that's what you've got: 51, 56, and 64. What you have coming out this week, or should we go with what's actually in the top five? This week, that would probably be better. Yeah, let's do that instead. Alright, so your current standings at the minute. Number 5 is Saving Mr. Banks with 9.3 million. Number 4 is American Hustle with 19.1 million. Number 3 is Frozen with 19.6. Number 2 is Anchorman 2 with 26.7. And at number 1, it's The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, with 31.5. So that is your top 5 for this week. Your top 3 being, just a quick recap, Frozen, Anchorman 2, and The Hobbit. What you've got coming out this week, let's have a look. When it loads, that is... Oh, preparation, how sweet art thou. So sweet, are you Shakespearean language?
We have a lot. There's a lot of them coming out this week. We have Lone Survivor comes out.
Yeah.
The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. Mm-hmm. The Wolf of Wall Street coming out on Christmas Day. Oh, yeah. Justin Bieber's Believe is also coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet.
Sweet, guys.
47 Ronin, the 5-year saga of Keanu Reeves trying to pretend that he's Asian.
Whoa, I'm like a samurai. Think in nearly 2.5 to 3 years, I think I've finally mastered an impression on the spot. Yes. I think Dan's dying over there.
Oh, that was great. Oh my god.
Sorry, my headphones fell out.
Oh, get a grip of yourself, guys. Come on.
And then also, the Grudge match comes out. Sylvester Stallone's follow-up to the shittiest film of the year, Bullet to the Head.
Ooh!
And then August Osage County is coming out limited, as well as The Invisible Woman.
I gotta say, for last week, it's actually pretty hard. Danny, all right?
No.
Do you need oxygen?
I'm just laughing for a second. I'm fine.
Okay.
Oh, God, I've got hair in my mouth.
And breathe.
Okay, go ahead. I didn't catch the last five or so, but we'll go for it.
All right, well, seeing as you're in the lead, that means it's up to you to kick us off. What do you think is going to be the top three for the finale of 2013?
Geez, there were so many that came out on that list. So there's Wolf of Wall Street, Secret Life, What Me. I'm going to say Secret Life of Walter Mitty at number one with, let's say, 36 million. Followed by, okay, I can't even remember what else was on that list, because I was too busy laughing.
47 Ronin, Believe, Grudge Match, and Wolf of Wall Street.
Justin Bieber one. Okay, switch. Justin Bieber number one with 35. Secret Life of Walter Mitty number two, 30. Wolf of Wall Street, 325. Keep it simple.
Is this Bieber's second movie?
Yes.
I think this is his sequel, yeah.
I forget what his first one was.
Never Say Never?
Possibly.
Not that, you know.
Which is kind of a redundant title.
I don't know.
Never Say Never Again.
Oh, Glenn, you know all of Bieber's show tunes.
Nope, that was American Tail. Fuck you very much.
What do you think is going to be the top three? If you can get the Biebs off your brain for 5 minutes.
I think that number one is going to be The Lone Survivor with 33 million. And then The Hobbit with 27 million. And The Wolf of Wall Street with a disappointing 24 million.
Mm. I wouldn't say that's that disappointing.
Well, I mean, it's going to be disappointing.
Okay, let's see. I think I'm going to go number one, Secret Life of Walter Mitty, and I'm going to go 38. Number two, I'm going to go with 47 Ronin. And I'm going to say 24. And actually, yeah, Wolf of Wall Street, number three. And I'm going to say 18. I'm going to just shun the Biebs completely.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wants to see that with their kids on Christmas.
That might be true, actually.
Well, fuck them. Pick a better film.
But, you know, what's funny to me is that all of these movies come out on Christmas Day, which means their numbers are all going to be smaller.
That's true, yeah, because, I mean, I know people still go, but especially opening day numbers are going to be small, I reckon.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We shall see. I see one of your recent favourites, Mandela Long Walk to Freedom's expanding.
Ugh. Oh, I saw that this week, too.
It was bad.
It's not good.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's expanding, if you want to catch that as well. Yeah, so there you go. That is our picks. If you want to play along for one last round, get a feel for it before we start anew in the new year, do so. Let us know your picks at screeninvasion.com. Look for the show notes for this episode, whatever it is. you'll find it. It's easy enough. And let us know what you think is going to do what for this time next week. I take it we're doing our end of year wrap-up next week, just before New Year's?
Yeah, I think so.
Let's do it.
Awesome. Well, I, for one, am already looking forward to it. I'm just about finished my list. I've got a couple of things which I want to rewatch to give them a chance, to give them the benefit of the doubt of perhaps slipping in there last minute.
Spring Breakers.
Yeah. Okay, a double bill with the Canyons.
Good. stupid.
And then I'm going to throw myself off a building afterwards.
There's a couple of things I need to see before next week then. I really want to see the Broken Circle breakdown on a certain Mal Foster's recommendation.
Do it.
And there's a couple of other things as well. I think 20 Feet from Stardom was on TV or something recently. So I'm like, I need to see that as well. So yeah, there's a couple of things I need to catch up on, but I'm really excited about hearing your lists.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it because they're always good. And they always impress. And if you know you're looking for some films that perhaps you've missed this year, definitely check out next episode because everything across the board, with the exception of one perhaps from Harmony Korine, is an exceptional film, no doubt. But that's it for this week. Been wonderful as always, and be safe out there and have a wonderful Christmas as well, everybody, or a happy holiday season or whatever. Just have a nice fucking time. Right?
There you go.
Got it?
Yes.
Do it.